And now, back to Brainstorming with Billy.
The Living Brain.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Every show has a theme, but before we get to today's theme, I want to remind you to take the poll on my website. Go to brainstormingonline.com. It's a very simple yes-no question. I ask you, are you going to be looking for a new job in 2012? Go ahead and answer the poll, and then you'll be able to see the results so far, see how you stack up compared to the others who have answered the poll. I will announce the overall results tomorrow on tomorrow's show. So go to my website, brainstorming, S-T-O-R-M-I-N, online.com. Take today's poll. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is the smallest detail. Each of my guests is explaining the smallest details of his subject, whether it's marketing, consumer electronics, or Carly Simon. My next guest comes from a family of patent filers. He's the author of Gadget Nation, A Journey Through the Eccentric World of Innovation, and we'll discuss the latest gadgets he's discovered on the floor of the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas. And if you have a question or if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Steve Greenberg is an invention groupie. He was born into a family of patent filers, and Steve has recognized the importance of America's inventors. That's why he wrote the book about America's garage inventors called Gadget Nation, A Journey Through the Eccentric World of Invention. As an invention insider, Steve travels around the country looking for innovative products. Steve has seen on national TV shows such as NBC's Today Show, CBS Early Morning, ABC News, etc. The list goes on and on. For 3 years, Steve has been seen nationally every weeknight demonstrating innovative products on the Discovery Channel's Your New House. For 6 years before that, he was on HGTV's very popular Dream Builders. He writes for several different magazines, newspapers, and websites. Before he made the beat about innovation, he was a full-time television news reporter working at the CBS-owned station in Miami, Florida. Steve has been honored with, get this, no less than 12 different Emmys. Joining us from Las Vegas, Nevada, home of the Consumer Electronics Show. Hi, Steve. How are you doing today?
Just fine. After the introduction, I hope I can live up to it.
Well, I'll tell you, it's nothing more than a recap of your life so far. But let's put that behind us, because really the focus here I'd like to talk about is the Consumer Electronics Show. And let's just jump right into it. Sort of gauge the mood for us, if you will, at this year's Consumer Electronics Show. Is it more or less upbeat than last year?
I've been going for, I wish I could figure out the exact number. I think this is my 12th or 13th year that I've gone in a row. And I would say, you know, a couple of years ago, the mood was very down, obviously, when the whole economic downturn. I think this year has been a real upswing. I see real optimism. I see a big turnout, a bigger turnout than I've seen in a long time. And I think it's a very positive mood. I was really pleasantly pleased to see that, too.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad to hear that. But, you know, you're looking at the reports that I'm getting right now, don't seem to be a lot of exciting new products. You're going to prove me wrong on that. But what are some of the most exciting exhibits that you've seen so far, Steve?
Well, you've got to, you know, it's like anything else. You have to, even the media and even myself, you know, you can only see a small piece of this thing. It's huge. I mean, to give you an idea, it's 1.8 million square feet. That's equal to 37 football fields, and it's about 15 miles of aisles. It's a lot to see, and no person can do it all. And, you know, there are a couple of classics. But, you know, people go to, like, the LG booth and Samsung, and, you know, they pick out a couple of things. But you really have to go into the smaller inventors areas to see some of the, you know, the things that might, you know, really kind of break out. And you know, you just can't just go with the big boys all the time. Though they have some cool products, there's no question about that. I saw a lot of, I mean, the big buzzword of getting this, hitting us really hard with 3D TVs. That's very, very hot. They're hitting us hard with OLED, which is organic light emitting diode. You're going to be hearing that more and more soon, because we went from plasma to LCD to LED. The next one is OLED, and it's as thin as a sheet of paper, and yet it's the picture is bright and vibrant, and it's going to be the next big thing. But right now the price is too high, but it's very big here at the show. I think LG had the world's largest 3D OLED TV there at the show, 55 inches. It was pretty amazing. The picture was phenomenal.
Well, no doubt about that. So organic LED, Steve, organic LED, by its name, it sounds like it's organic. Are these in time going to be cheaper to produce and better for the environment once their life is over? Is that the idea?
Well, they're totally better for the environment. All the bad chemicals that are in these other systems aren't in this. And it's actually, I'm not sure I understand it completely, but these are crystals that are formed from some sort of algae-like creature. It's actually it's a naturally created in a laboratory, but it's organically created crystals that that emit these diodes that are light-emitting diodes. So it's a whole completely different way of doing it. But what's nice about it is that there's no mercury in it. There's no any of those other things that are, you know, heavy metals. So that when this set is done, you can throw it away. But it's so thin, you could make clothing out of it. You could wrap it around the pole. You could use it like wallpaper. I mean, if it ever gets cheap enough, it's just flexible. The only reason it has any thickness at all is because it would just fall over. They have to mount it onto a sheet of metal so that it doesn't, you know, flop down and fall over itself.
All right.
It's pretty amazing technology, and it's really cool to see here at the show. But, you know, there are other things that caught my eye, too. For example, Samsung has a camcorder. I think it's a QF20. And this is something called vertical switch grip. So what that is, picture you're panning your camcorder across a horizontal surface, and then all of a sudden you come across, you know, the Empire State Building or a statue, and you want to turn the camera and kind of shoot up at it. Well, if you did that, when you played it back, you'd have to look on the side because now you've screwed up the whole orientation. This thing automatically figures out that you've done that, and it readjusts the orientation. So as you turn the camera, it still keeps, you know, things that are supposed to be down, things supposed to be up. It's really amazing technology.
Oh,
sort of like, you know, your mother-in-law can't mess this up. If she borrows a camera, everybody's going to be able to watch what she does. It's really great. And it's got built-in Wi-Fi, so you can take your video directly from the camera and put it right onto Facebook and YouTube. It's pretty amazing. I also saw that almost every TV I saw on the floor was web-enabled, meaning you can get web content on your TV set, and that seems to be the standard now. Well, if you bought your TV set 2 or 3 years ago, you can't really do that because you didn't have it then.
Right.
So you could throw out the TV set, but that's not very practical. So what LG has done is they've come up with two great little solutions. One's called the streaming media player. It's maybe 4 inches by 4 inches. It's a little box that lets you take web content, including like Netflix and YouTube, and stream it through any existing television set. They also came out with something called Smart TV Upgrader, which does the same thing as the media player, but it also has access to what LG calls their full Smart TV platform, where they have a bunch of apps loaded, like Facebook and Pandora, and again, you can control it through a remote. Actually, the remote is called a gesture-based magic remote, so there's no, you don't have to use buttons. You can actually talk yourself through it. You can wave it around and control the remote. And you can, again, access web content onto a pre-existing television set. You don't have to buy a new TV.
Wow.
I thought that was pretty cool, too, and good thinking.
That is. My guest is Steve Greenberg. He's talking to us about what he's found at the Consumer Electronics Show. Steve is also the author of the book Gadget Nation. Now, Steve, I'm going to play the devil's advocate here if I can for just a minute, because objective observers like myself, those are not in the tech industry, they look at the Consumer Electronics Show and we think, gosh, this is overhyped. I mean, many of the products there that we see never catch on in the marketplace. An example of that has got to be something you've already talked about, and that is 3D television. You know, that was the rage 2 years ago. Seeing that. And probably,
I can tell you one thing. The manufacturers are not giving up on it. I mean, they have spent, Sony alone, you walk into the theater they built there on the floor of the convention store, and it's all about 3D, and they're pushing it like crazy. And plus, the video you watch there is phenomenal. I mean, you feel like you're in the middle of some sporting ring. It's really incredible. But, I don't have a 3D TV set, and I'm not a big guy because I don't really want to wear glasses when I'm watching TV in my home.
That's the point.
But it's really going to be a test of will. Are the American people going to just reject this? And no matter what manufacturers do, they're not going to go for it. Or are they going to finally say, you know what? The content on TV is getting better and better. It's 3D, and we want it. So I can tell you the jury's still out.
I would have to agree with you on that. But
the manufacturers are still very, it's not like they've said, well, we're going to move on, or the people don't want this, let's look at something else. They are pushing it like crazy, more than I ever imagined.
Well, there you go. So the manufacturers are pushing it. We'll see if we as consumers will take on to it.
Exactly. It'll be interesting. I mean, the one thing that the Sony booth pointed out was how much content there is between, you know, ESPN has a whole 3D channel, and there's this thing called, I forget what they call it, but there's another channel coming out that's all 3D stuff. So the more of that that I keep showing up there, you know, it might start to get people to want it.
That it might not.
Boxing match is, I have to say, the clips they showed, and I'm not a big sports guy myself, but I had to admit it really did take watching, you know, extreme sports to a new level. I mean, it just is like, it was pretty amazing. I mean, it got me to go, whoa, you know, and that's, not easy to get you to do.
No, I guess not. My guest is Steve Greenberg. So, Steve, let me ask you about Ultrabooks right now. That's also part of the rage right now. Ultrabooks, are they hype or are they realistic? You've got Hewlett-Packard's out there, Acer, Samsung. They're all promoting some form of ultra-thin, what they call an Ultrabook. Are these guys just late to the party compared to Apple's MacBook Air, or is this the wave of the future, do you think?
I think it's the wave of the future. First of all, at the Microsoft keynote speech, and this is Microsoft's last year at CES. Mostly,
yes, it is.
They talked about the Acer Aspire S3, and that is really impressive. I got to play with it today. I held it in my hand for a little while. It's unbelievable thin. It's super light. It's got all the power of a standard-sized notebook. It runs Windows 7, and it's amazing. Now, yeah, sure, you know, the MacBooks are out there that are similar dimensions, but the price is half the price of a MacBook. And it's still a pretty impressive piece of equipment. So, I that's the whole thing that's so great about electronics. I mean, I think it's crummy for the electronics companies because they kill each other. You know, they're absolutely a bloodbath for them. But for us consumers, we're the winners because we get really amazing pieces of hardware at unbelievable prices.
That's true.
Not going to happen without that. So they may be late to the party, but they're certainly going to cheapen the party, and that's a good thing for us, I think.
No, it is. Now, you mentioned Steve Ballmer. You mentioned Microsoft. This is Microsoft's last year at the CES, and Steve Ballmer, as he typically does, gave the opening address at the CES. What is it that Microsoft could possibly announce at the CES that's going to generate buzz? And if you think about it, the company's sort of been moribund since Bill Gates left and Steve Ballmer took over. The only product that's really doing anything is Xbox and its Kinectic attachment to it. So is Microsoft's departure from the show sending a message about either the consumer electronics show or Microsoft products in general, would you say?
Well, I would argue with you on a couple points on that. Some of it I agree with, but some of it I'd argue because Microsoft, they're far from down and out. They're still a big player. And I think the reason they're leaving CES is because they want to have their own show, just like Apple has its own show. Mm-hmm. They want their own show, and I think that's part of it. You know, the Windows operating system on phones is really phenomenal. I don't think it's gotten nearly the respect or buzz that it deserves, and I've gotten to use it, and it's very intuitive, very easy to use. It's a pretty nice fact. One of the phones that was announced at the show a day ago was Nokia announced that their first Windows smartphone is going to be on AT&T Superfast, that 4G LTE network, which is pretty impressive. It's the biggest screen that Nokia's ever come out with, a 4.3, cool design, 8 megapixel camera, comes in a black and a blue, and it's just got all these built-in apps.
Yeah, but
there's
Steve,
a people page. It's a very. I mean, I know a smartphone. I know compared to an iPhone, it may not be. You know, people.
Oh, I won't even compare it to an iPhone, Steve. I'm just going to say one word, and that's Nokia. Nokia was the leader when it came to handsets, and now they've dropped the ball. I think, is this too little too late for Nokia? I don't care if this is the greatest thing since canned beer. Is it going to be able to save the company after they've bumbled and stumbled over these last 5 years?
I remember they were the absolute leader. I mean, no one could have beat Nokia 5 years ago or a little more than that. But now they're hurting, but what they've done is they realize that their operating system is not going to be the one that people want. And they looked at what's out there, and the Windows operating system is a pretty so they announced this phone and I think a couple others that are all going to go Windows, and that's where this company is going to go. And we'll see if it pays off for them or not. It is, I have to say, a pretty easy, fun operating system to use.
Cool.
So it'll be interesting to see if it takes off. It's difficult to compete with Apple because Apple has all the accessories, and the reason they have all the accessories is because they have an operating system that's on a single model. So if you're creating something like iBike or an iGrill gadget, you want it to marry in with the exact same software and the exact same hardware. And you can do that because you've got a quarter of the phone users are all Apple. So you've got this big audience who all has the exact same thing. When you get to the world of Android, they all have different shapes and sizes. They all have different tweaks to the software. The same thing with Windows. So it's much more difficult to create accessories that go with that very splintered market versus this solid chunk of 25% that are iPhone users.
That makes a lot of sense. My guest is Steve Greenberg. We're talking about the Consumer Electronics Show, what he's observing there. He's also the author of the book Gadget Nation, A Journey Through the Eccentric World of Innovation. So, Steve, let me ask you this in the time that we've got remaining. Who's emerging as the leading company at CES? I mean, we hear a lot about Samsung. It's sort of the Apple of South Korea. They make everything from phones to chips to TVs to refrigerators. Is Samsung becoming the dominant player when it comes to consumer electronics worldwide?
Well, I'd say looking at booth sizes, and I haven't really measured them out, but at CES, I would say Samsung and LG have probably the two biggest booths of the whole place. Followed close behind is probably Sony, and I think that's where I would say those are the big three. Intel has a pretty decent-sized booth, and Motorola has a decent-sized booth, but I would say LG, Samsung, and Sony have the biggest booth. So they certainly give the impression that they're the kingpins, at least in the CES show. Other cool products, I bumped into a thing called Eyeballs, where an eye would spell B-A-L, I think Z. Look like little tennis balls that go onto any tablet, and it's held together by like a rubber band that holds the whole thing together. And then you can take a tablet and you can throw it out of an airplane and it won't break. By putting these balls on the corners of it, it makes it like indestructible. It's invented by a single guy out there. He's typical of a guy in my book, Gadget Nation. Also, 3M came out with a whole line of these really great protectors for your tablets, phones, and e-readers. And a bunch of them come out with these privacy screens. So, if you want to be the only person looking at that movie on the airplane, or you're doing your banking work at a coffee shop, it's designed so only the person looking straight ahead of it can see it. Anyone to the right or left of the screen can't see anything. And I think you're going to see more and more of that. And those kind of screen protectors not only prevent scratches and smudges, but also protect your content on your smartphone and your tablet. And I think that's going to be very hot. And that's, again, from 3M.
All right. We're going to have to leave it there. My guest has been Steve Greenberg, reporting from the Consumer Electronics Show. Steve, if people are intrigued, they want to learn more about you, learn more about Gadget Nation, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Well, if you go to gadgetnation.net, you can click on Steve's blog, and you can see all about the products I just talked about in today's segment with you. Also, if you go on YouTube and you go to Greenberg's Gadgets, you'll see I send a bunch of 30-second clips from CES, and I put on that channel, so you can see that on Greenberg's Gadgets. I also write for a site called What's Wow Now. So between all of that, you can get a good sense of what I do.
Without a doubt. Steve, it has been great. Thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
My pleasure. Thanks, Bill. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.